Hi, Jason.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Couple That Scares Together.
So, I was just told that I, last week I did not speak very loudly. And
oh my God, now he's screaming.
You guys were on, you know, you couldn't hear me. So, this week I want to make sure that I'm speaking very loudly and that you guys in the back row, as well as the front row, can hear me.
Split the difference.
I'm here.
Okay, calm down. Well, we are back. We are excited to be back. Jason is loudly excited to be back. And I think...
I'm always excited. My wife...
What?
She's lying. I wouldn't say lying. She's stretching the truth.
What?
Because she is not a night owl. She's a person who likes to get up early...
And I do.
She likes to be in bed.
I do.
By
8.
It's right now.
8:15.
What time is it?
It's 8:15.
So we're 15 minutes past
my
her bedtime.
I get up at 4:30.
So, hold on. You didn't get up at 4:30 this morning.
I did not.
So she says to me, maybe we put this off until tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And I say, no. I'm going to speak loudly so that all our listeners can hear me this evening.
Right.
Tonight.
Okay, so for the right kind of activity, I get out of bed and have a good time. Tonight is one of those, so I'm okay. That's fine. But yes, on any given day, I like to be in bed by 8 o'clock. I like to get right in there. I like to get to sleep. I like to get up, start my day.
That's what she said.
That doesn't work. All right. Well, tonight we're talking about, I think, an exciting topic. I'm excited about this.
Wait a second. Before we get into that, we've got 3 dogs in our house right now.
Which is one dog too many.
Give the background information.
We're watching my sister's dog, who is my dog Charlie's sister, Atticus. And Charlie is the biggest dog of the litter, and he's a whopper. And he's just a lummox, and we love him. And Addie, we love her too, but she's the runt of the litter, and she is the polar opposite of Charlie.
We don't love her. She's, once again, she is
we do
stretching
love her.
The truth.
No, we do love her.
She's a great dog.
We love her the way you love
not.
Family.
She's not.
She
needs a lot of training, so we've decided that we're going to take her... in June, we're going to start training her.
Permanent. We had a choice. We could either refuse to ever watch her again, which it almost came down to, or we could say, we're going to have to take your dog and rehab her because she barks too much. She doesn't know how to walk on a leash. She doesn't like cats, children, or other dogs. What else is wrong with her?
When I take her out for a walk, like I have to be...
Oh, she lunges at cars.
Yeah, I've got to be very cognizant of vehicles because she lunges at cars. Mm-hmm. She'll go after neighbor dogs.
Mm-hmm.
She really is not trained. So,
but how well did she do with us?
Oh,
I mean,
with us,
crazy.
Very well.
Yes.
But we have dogs and we know how to.
She needs
train
to be
dogs.
Part of a pack, so she is. And she is right now. She's laying down. I won't even say her name. She's being wonderful.
Right.
She's crate trained. She has her own crate here, and she goes in it. And that's where she needs to take her little rest. And that's really important for her because dogs are den animals, and she has her own little den now. And all of that, she's doing really well. She actually is. By the time we think she's a functioning dog, it's time for her to go back home to my sister, who loves her and adores her, who doesn't actually need to have her.
Yes,
all this
she
training.
Does. Yes, she does. Yes, she does need
it's
to have her trained.
Them Wait, and the tiny
you're being
dog.
Way too kind. Aaron, you need to have your dog trained. This is not true. Your dog is, her manners are horrendous. She's like, everybody likes your dog. I'm not saying that.
We're not speaking to her directly.
But she, I am.
Okay.
But she needs training. Now, quick segue. We go from our own personal zoo to stories about scary zoos. Here we
right.
go.
Well, that is the premise of this of tonight's show. So last week, Jason said, let's do a collaboration. And I said, well, we should just pick a topic and I'll pick a couple stories. You pick a couple stories and we'll both share. And he said, I'm on it. I said, okay. And so I said, hey, you didn't pick this zoo, did you? And he's like, nope, I didn't pick that zoo. I'm like, okay, fantastic. And then I said, hey, you didn't pick this, did you? And he goes, nope, didn't pick that. And then at some point this week, he just walked down to my classroom and handed me a stack of paper, photocopied, like printed off articles. And I said, what is this? He goes, that's my contribution. I said, well, what is it? And he said, I don't know, I didn't read it. And I said, that's not a contribution. And why are you giving me a stack of papers? Nothing we do is paper and pencil. Everything is digital. We use iPads. Why wouldn't he share articles via iPad? I don't know.
First of all, for those who don't know, both of us are teachers, we teach different subject areas, but we do work at the
And apparently school. Jason well, no, teaches in 1992. He teaches English.
I teach English and teach it well, thank you.
You do? Well, are you printing out copies for your students? I bet you're not.
No.
But for
digital,
me, you did.
Digital,
yeah.
But you... Yeah,
but I got it. You, I got old
get,
school.
You get
it's
old
like
school.
Like college. Here you go. I was like, should I highlight this and then give
no,
it back
you
to you?
No, take what I give you.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, tonight, right. we are absolutely going to... this will be a performance in the making because we're going to collaborate. We're going to add some stories together and we're discussing all kinds of things. Spooky, scary, maybe.
Some stuff not scary.
Some stuff's not scary, but some stuff that kind of goes, oh, like that kind of reaction about zoos.
I love zoos.
Well, it's funny that you said that you like zoos because after tonight, you might not.
Wait
and
a
you
second.
Know,
I didn't say I like it,
said
I love.
Okay, you love zoos. Yeah. I don't know if I do love zoos anymore. We are zoo goers. We like
yes,
to go
Baltimore
to the
zoo.
We do. The, we
Shout
like to
out.
Go to the zoo. However, I've always felt like a touch like some of the mammals and the especially the big predators. Ooh, I don't love
what
that
What do you
they're...
mean? Which ones?
I mean, the sad polar bear always makes me sad.
Oh, no, he's not sad.
Yeah.
He's living it.
Well, you know the animals at our zoo? A lot of them are, like, disabled and can't live on their own, which is...
What she is talking about, she's referencing the Maryland Zoo in Baltimore.
Yes. Yes.
For
which
those
is
who don't know.
We love it. But after tonight, I'm not sure how I feel about it anymore.
I'm
so,
fine with it.
A couple of things before we start, okay? Because we got several listener submissions, and I'm compiling them. So I think next week, we're going to do a whole episode devoted to listener submissions. So if you gave me something... If you gave me something, I have it, and I'm going to go through it and make sure we read it. And I absolutely got notices that said, like, use my first name, don't use any of my names, whatever. I'm absolutely respectful of that. So I just want to make sure that I have that down before I read your story out loud. But I'm so happy that people turn that in.
Those animals are happy to be in zoos. That's the truth. I think they love it.
Okay, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk about a couple things before we get into it. Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
So,
what is it?
Well, one, I saw like this very, maybe people know about it and I just don't. This
is
very
this about the poodles.
No, I want a poodle. Don't talk to
Tell
me about
people
that.
Out there.
I want a poodle people.
If you have poodle puppies, my wife, now we're not talking like a mini poodle or anything
no,
like that.
No, I want
that,
a standard
toy.
Poodle.
Yeah, we're
maybe.
Talking like a bit, no, a robust standard poodle, a real dog.
Oh, no, I need a working dog.
I mean, I like all dogs, but for our family, we need working, you know, robust working dogs.
Yeah, but that's not what I was going to talk about.
What?
Well, I saw this story, this just like very brief story on Friday, and I didn't really suss it out, but I wanted to put it out there. Something happened to the moon. Did you hear this?
What do you mean something happened to it?
Something
it
about, out? No, something about like China was shooting a rocket or something into the moon or something. And I thought, well, that's it. I've decided to stop worrying about my weight since the world is falling apart. So I just want
no,
everyone to know. Yeah,
come on.
Pretty sure that I don't know what's going to happen
you
next.
You just decided this.
But I'm eating carbohydrates.
This weekend?
Yep.
Hey, by the way, that reminds me
I'm
of
I'm eating
that
carbohydrates.
Scene with Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber when okay. he's in the bar. And he's about to, you know, walk out the door and he looks on the wall and there's a newspaper, a framed newspaper article that says, man lands on the moon. And he goes, hey, look here, we landed on the moon. You
like
know what
we
I'm
just,
saying?
Yeah, like we just figured it out.
Okay. Dumb and Dumber. If you have not seen that movie, it's outstanding.
Of
Jim
course.
Carrey,
everybody in America has
Jeff
seen
Daniels.
That movie.
There's some people that are younger than us who have never seen it.
Okay, then they don't
they're
want
like,
to.
They're like, who's Jim Carrey?
No,
who he
they're
is.
Not listening to us.
Who's Jeff Daniels?
Okay.
Some old man.
All right. Well, tonight we're talking about the zoo. Are you ready? And away we go.
And away we go.
All right. So
to the zoo this time.
To the zoo we go. So we have a few stories to start with, okay? I'm going to start with what you provided. And actually, what we did together, we did watch a little bit before I fell asleep. Do you remember? About the old zoo at Griffin Park.
By the way, this is
I feel like that was our inspiration.
This is
oh,
in
God,
paper
some,
form.
Don't rattle the paper.
It's in paper form. You're welcome.
That's like
You're
a
welcome.
Sound effect. Oh, it's terrible. Yes. By the way, did you see what you... if you could see this at home, I just want you to know, it's printed back front and upside down.
We're going to take a picture of it. I'll take a picture of it and post it on our Instagram.
I mean, it's so bad.
Okay.
The quality of which you thought that you
it's
would present.
It's not what I would give to students or anything.
But me, you were like, here you go.
Well, you're not as important as them.
Okay. Well, Griffin Park is one of the most popular parks in Los Angeles. We, Jason and I, watched several YouTube videos and went down a rabbit hole of just touring this virtually, right?
It's like homeless people. And yeah.
Yeah. If you've not heard of the place, and many people have, which you probably, people talk about Griffin Park, but they probably don't even know, realize it was once a zoo. It was a place where lots of people went, exotic animals were on display. Even today, I think if you go through at night, we watched several videos.
Oh, I would not recommend that.
Yeah. Lots of people use the picnic area during the day. But
they'll fornicate.
No, I think not during the day. I think at night, it's a whole different story.
Yeah.
Right. But there are all these rumors of hauntings and phantom sounds of animals in distress. Mostly, yeah, can be heard on a nightly basis. So tell them a little bit about the video we saw.
The video was pretty interesting. It was from a few years ago. This guy was walking around shooting a video.
That's all you got?
So the park is like this humongous wide open space. And obviously, I mean, it contains, the exhibits.
Yeah. Call them exhibits.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The exhibits where these animals used to live. And now they're used for, say, as a picnic area or as a place to do drugs. You know, if crack is your thing or heroin, you know, you can go there to do drugs. I'm just giving the people, like, letting people know what it is.
Okay.
Like,
well,
it's a wide open space. It's great for a frisbee golf, or if you want to get high, or if you want to, you know,
kill a homeless person. Loiter.
Graffiti.
Graffiti.
Yeah, like all over. There was a whole lot of that stuff going on.
Well, Griffin Park first opened in 1912 with as many as 15 total animals on display. That's not very much. It was the second zoo in the city's history to open up. About two decades prior, the East Lake Zoo in Los Angeles opened up to the public. Prior to the zoo's opening, it was an ostrich farm, apparently.
There actually is one thing that, like, Griffin Park, from what I learned, is actually like a huge space, and the zoo
right.
is only a portion of that space.
Right. Well, apparently, the ostrich farm was owned by the park's founder, who was called Griffin J. Griffin. That was his name.
Yeah, which right. that in itself is like pretty incredible.
Right.
Who would name their kid Griffin J. Griffin?
I don't know. Throughout the golden age of film and movies in Hollywood, animals soon made an appearance in films, and one film producer named William Nichols Selig was said to have donated animals that made appearances in films to the zoo once the filming had been done. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that donation started the animal theme park that would attract more visitors. In the early 1930s, the zoo had undergone an expansion project as part of the then president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal. The zoo had included caved enclosures with steel bars, which had been commonplace in zoos. So, in its heyday, it drew more than 2,000 visitors per day. But the zoo had often been criticized for its small size, especially at times when the city of Los Angeles was in the process of growing. And then by the 1950s, the city had passed a bond issue to construct a new zoo that would cost upwards of $8 million for its construction. So that's why this is called the old zoo. The zoo would eventually be constructed just 2 miles from Griffin Park. 8 years later, in 1966, the new zoo was opened and therefore led to the closure of the zoo at Griffin Park. The enclosures eventually were home to many picnic tables and benches from park visitors. While the old zoo still gets its fair share of visitors, it's become the frequent site of some Hollywood films. I think they filmed Anchorman part of that there.
That was the fight scene from Anchorman.
Okay. Also, Wonder Woman. Some Starsky and Hutch. I can't say it.
Starsky and Hutch.
Good job. And other TV shows, particularly in the 1970s and 80s. While the park is usually occupied and visited throughout the day, the old zoo still gets its fair share of people. But at night, there aren't too many people around. And the zoo itself is the site of some eerie hauntings. Hauntings at the zoo and Griffin Park seem to be commonplace, and local visitors will tell you all about them. It is said that at night, some people would venture through the park's old section and hear the sounds of animals. The sounds apparently were more like distress calls of animals being captive. Considering that the animals were held in cages, it may have been a possibility that controversy surrounding the zoo regarding abuse may have been talked about. But then there's nothing known or any allegations we really don't know that's come to light. Some have said that the park itself may have been haunted because of a curse that has said it has that was existed over 150 years ago.
Here we go. Was an Indian burial ground?
It always is. Like any other major park in the city, Griffin Park also had its fair share of murder investigations as well. The results of the reports of murders or even the disposal of dead bodies in the park have been given way to numerous homicide investigations over the years. One of the most recent investigations involved the discovery of a human skull found in the park grounds.
And we saw this one.
Yes. Eventually, the skull belonged to a woman who was believed to be in her early 20s at the time of her death. The curse or death or why it's happened is still unclear to this day. While there might be an untold amount of spirits probably lurking around the park, there might be one in particular who's still milling around and trying to figure out what's going on. At one point, Griffin Park was a plot of land that was owned by a rancher named Don Antonio Feliz. Before dying of smallpox in 1863, a local politician was drawing up Feliz's will, which apparently was a ruse of, you know.
A politician built a man out of his property?
Yeah, they were looking to deceive his family, Feliz's family. Out of the land deal. Upon learning of this, Feliz's niece allegedly declared a curse on the politician and his family. That's what you do.
I like it.
I'm going to need some of your hair.
I like that.
Just kidding. While the curse may have been true or not, the events that happened after the fact were of much interest. The attorney involved in the swindling of the property was later shot to death by an unknown assailant. The land's next-door owner was hoping to start up a cattle farm. However, those plans were cut short when his cattle had swiftly contracted a disease and eventually ended up dying. To add more insult to industry, the crops were destroyed by a fire and pests.
Good God.
I know. So when Griffin owned the land prior to its conversion to a park, a nasty thunderstorm rolled through Los Angeles area and caused some major flood damage, including lightning striking down a large tree. Some ranch hands who were employed by Griffin said to have seen a shadowy figure cheering and hollering during the storm.
Oh, the worst thing, just that's so awful about that poor lawyer who was shot dead. That's really terrible.
They believed it may have been the ghost of Feliz cheering on what may have been the failure of yet another property owner trying to use the land for his own gain. Even when Griffith donated the park to the city of Los Angeles, the curse would in all likelihood stay intact. During the Depression, workers on the land were on hand to make renovations and changes to Griffin Park. On one such day during the New Deal sanctioned project, more than 30 civilian workers were killed when a wildfire swept through the park.
Oh, man.
I know. More than four decades later, a couple visiting the park were killed when a falling tree crushed them both to death. I'm not kidding. Yeah.
Both of them?
Yes. Yes, that's how I want to go. If a tree falls, you better come. Yes, both of us. Mm-hmm. These are just a sample of all the events that took place inside the park.
That must have been a hell of a tree.
I guess so.
Huge.
Even with the park possibility of being cursed, Griffin Park might be a place worth going to see. Some say. I think so.
The videos I saw, it looked kind of scary.
Well, yeah. I think what was so scary in some of the videos is there was no people around. It was during the day. And that I was like, where are the people?
It was like totally empty.
Yeah, that sounds strange because it's a lovely green area.
On YouTube, I did see a story about a man who died at the park.
Yes.
He was 29, I believe, when he passed away. He might have been homeless. His dog, if you guys recall this, his dog stayed by his side at his corpse for 2 weeks, and his dog was starving when his body was found.
The dog was fine.
Luckily, the dog was rescued and, you know, brought back to health, but he was not.
I'm pretty sure Charlie would do that.
Dead.
He would stay by me the whole time. Moose would leave you.
Yeah. No, he would eat me.
He would eat you.
He would, like, and our pets would eat us, except maybe our truly, I don't know.
Well, that brings us to our next topic, and that is things that happen at the zoo that you would stay rather not know about.
Things that happen at the zoo, stay at the
zoo. Or maybe, like, we don't want to know. And this is the part where I thought to myself, maybe I don't want to know this stuff because I'm not sure I will enjoy zoo.
This is a great story.
What?
It's a great... This stuff that I found is really cool.
Oh, my goodness. Look at him taking credit for the fact that he printed paper.
No, I found... Whatever. I found the article.
All right. Well, some of the stuff is just... Like, the articles is just that. And they talk about how, you know, new animals are quarantined and isolated. I think that makes sense. Probably.
It's the age of COVID.
Oh, God. Before that.
Oh, no. Oh, our dog just threw up on the carpet. It's really savage.
It's fine.
No, it's not. He just threw up all his food. He does this all the time.
He doesn't do it all the time. That's not unusual.
My dog does not vomit on the car. All right, we have to stop this so I can get clean up this.
All right, where we left off, we're talking about terrible things that happened at the zoo. And then Charlie vomited.
On our carpet.
Oh, that's fine.
Terrible things that happen on our carpet.
Yeah, right. All right, so most, what was I talking about? I think I was talking about diets of animals.
I remember is... Dog food came heaving out of Charlie's mouth.
Oh, that's enough. Okay. Well, because of processed food that animals are fed, sometimes they result in developing severe dental issues that require significant and costly care by veterinarians. For example, some of the predators will, because of their diets, they don't get their, it affects their teeth and their, in particular. So they sometimes suffer with like really painful.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It plagues, like, bears, lions, and tigers.
Cavities
I told you.
And stuff?
Yeah. They don't have the diet that they would normally eat in the wild. So that makes sense. That's who I always feel sorry for, is the big predators.
Yeah, like the penguins, they want to go kill. No, but that bear's like, I want to eat that baby.
Right.
You know? That's all he wants to do.
Well, he's like, I don't want to pace back and forth.
I want to eat that baby bad. Like, I want to get to that stroller.
So speaking of penguins don't smell pleasant. Like, at all. I think we all knew this. Did anybody think a penguin smelled good?
What
I don't know.
Bird smells good?
I have no idea. I don't even like
penguins. Name me one bird that smells good.
Do you know the only thing good about the zoo and the penguin exhibit at the Baltimore Zoo is they sell wine there. I know
Well,
that.
I got a beer. Let's try to grab a beer.
So when,
great.
But they are considered the worst smelling animals in the zoo.
Well, I love
because
them.
Because of their, you know, excrement.
They just probably like, they're just
everywhere.
Walking
they're disgusting.
And shitting everywhere they go.
Probably. And they're penguins. And they don't care.
Not caring about it either.
Mm-hmm. So families get separated at the zoo, and I don't mean ours.
Penguin families?
Well, probably. Or just all
the
animals.
Oh, the animals.
Yeah.
Of course they do.
So one of the sadder truths is that behind the scenes is that they're separated quite often, and that probably makes sense, right? They're moved to different zoos, and that's how it is. Sometimes they're even sold to like ranches, pet stores, research labs.
Really?
Yeah.
Research labs? Yeah. Pet stores?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
I know. It's not going to be good. I'm telling you.
This is scary. This is scary.
Well, did anybody think zoos were great? I don't think so.
Yes.
So zoos are getting larger, and I don't mean size of the square footage.
Oh, the animals are getting fatter?
Yes, just like Americans are. Throughout most zoos in the world, it has become common for a significant number of animals to be overweight. They're probably depressed. I would be too. Two major factors are contributing to this.
No, the problem is they're all like, they're looking at the moon and saying, I'm it. That's
it.
Like, I'm on carbs now.
They're probably like, what moon phase is that?
It's over.
It's carb phase. That's what it
right.
is. Yeah. Well, the truth is they simply don't get the exercise to keep body fat from accumulating. And they are also fed several meals throughout the day, probably to keep them calm. So, just like me, that's what I require as well.
Okay.
Okay. So they're probably not the healthiest. Mm-hmm. So, people think that it's all about conservation. It's not really. It should be noted that that they have efforts in that area. Why can't I say that?
Conservation?
I don't know why.
Starsky and Hutch.
Stop it. And they're always done with the best intention, probably. But the truth is, they're there for entertainment. So they don't really, you know.
Of course.
Do a whole lot of that. It's expensive to feed the animals. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, hey, do you think Big Bird stinks?
Yeah, man in the puppet suit? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Big Bird, do you think he smells?
I think that costume is disgusting. All of them. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Have you ever been near a school mascot costume?
Yes.
It's disgusting. There's not enough Febreze in the world to cover that.
Big Bird's a real bird, so let's just stop right there.
Okay. All right. So, do you know that elephants consume up to 600 pounds of food every day in a zoo? That is roughly $15,000 per year just to feed.
Just to feed the elephant? Yeah. One elephant?
One elephant. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Uh-huh. We'd only have one elephant.
That's all we can afford. Yes. Right. Uh-huh. So sometimes they don't do the best job making sure they get everything they need because of costs.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because costs can be so high. They're eating a lot of processed food, but so are we. So
that's not true. That's
well,
not
we
true.
Don't. Well, so
we don't eat a lot of processed food.
Well, I mean, I cook all the time, but I'm still, yeah, we but still don't, eat processed food.
We eat some.
I mean, I just went to a large warehouse store today and bought packages of granola bars and like cookies that you dunk in icing for Teddy. So yeah, no, we eat processed food.
I mean,
food.
He's a child.
Yes. But food in the zoos is often in the cheapest form, tasty with very low nutritional value. So,
He's a predator.
Mm-hmm.
Teddy's a predator.
Uh-huh. Escape attempts aren't usually heard of, right? You don't really hear about that very often. And when we went to the zoo, what did the zookeepers tell us they were most worried about?
This is easy.
This is easy.
The chimpanzees.
That's right. The chimpanzees. And the gorillas and the...
God bless my man.
Louie.
What was the chimp? Travis the chimp that we did last year.
Who ripped their face off.
Oh my God. Oh. That was by far my most favorite episode.
Mm-hmm.
Was like the wild animal attacks.
It was terrible.
And Travis the chimp and just that picture of Travis and the stories of he and his mother. Like they would drive him around and he would make his own food.
Oh my, when he said he would take a frozen bag of vegetables in the microwave.
Yeah.
And that's what he would have for dinner and a fudgesicle. I thought my kids can't even do that.
I mean, he sounds so like just, I love him. It's a shame. Well, but anyway, so
there
back
go.
To the most well, it might dangerous sound
like,
animal.
Oh my God. Well, yes, yeah. It might sound like something out of a movie, but it's not uncommon for animals to attempt escape from their enclosures in the zoo.
Escape from Alcatraz, man. That's a great
movie.
Some
of the most impressive attempts typically come from the primate family, their brains are more highly developed.
Right.
They have been known to make makeshift ladders out of bamboo and branches. Uh-huh.
Really?
Found in their enclosures.
Oh,
they have destroyed...
Make a shiv out of like a piece of stick and stab you with
it. Yeah, they destroy recording devices, like intentionally.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Inbreeding is an issue. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's
well,
that.
I mean...
It's a serious issue.
I don't know what to say about that.
Uh-huh. And you know that can cause mental and physical handicaps.
Yeah.
So that's why some of these animals are not all that. Like the giraffe that just like licks the side of the wall.
Yeah, he's... Yeah.
You know, the white tiger is a perfect example of inbreeding. Did you know that?
Yeah, but they look cool.
Okay, well, they have a lot of health issues, so that's not great.
What are you going to say?
Okay, well...
I don't own a zoo.
I don't... Oh, we would not be good at that. Mm-mm.
What do you... Why?
At owning a zoo? We'd be terrible.
I mean, Tiger King was able to do it.
Oh my God. I did love that. Uh-huh.
That was...
Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, they have to have forced play time so they can have enrichment so they don't go crazy.
Enrichment? It's like
they
school.
call that enrichment. It's play time. It's
do when they really the call it enrichment?
That's what they call it. Enrichment.
It's mm-hmm. It's not school, for God's sake.
Well,
they're
have
animals.
To. They have to, like, do what... give them some of that. Sleep patterns. They, like, intentionally... fuck with it so that they can because they have paying customers so you need to stay awake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they gotta be up during the day.
Yeah, so they'll like intentionally adjust bright lights and things like that. And then something called psychosis, like zookosis, is real.
Oh, they mm-hmm. go crazy.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like the elephants are like, well, I can't, I'm mad as hell and I want to take it anymore.
Well, it can be aggressive behavior, it can be nervous twitches. Yeah, they try to like keep an eye on it and look out for it before. What was that? The whale that, or I mean, the orca that ate everybody in Blackfish?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so,
that's actually very sad because those things are very smart.
Yes. I was particularly interested in, like, the strict panda regulations. panda regulation.
Pandas?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Who cares about
So, that? Apparently, you have to rent a panda from the Chinese government. And, I mean, I don't know if this is still in place now, but it was. And a yearly rate to rent a panda can be close to $1 million. And if the panda dies because of human error, China imposes a fine of $400,000. But apparently pandas are the most popular, one of the most popular animals at the zoo. And they draw the biggest crowds.
What about the elephants?
Well, everyone loves an elephant, but every zoo has an elephant. Not every zoo has a panda.
Yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? Lifespans are shorter. I guess we can figure that, right?
I guess.
Yeah. And then, which I thought was kind of interesting, is you don't always see all the animals that live at the zoo.
Where are the other ones?
So, they just, some of them don't, they're not out for exhibit. They don't have any access to. Maybe,
like, breeding programs?
Maybe. Newborns. That makes sense, right? But maybe ones that they don't know are going to make it. I don't know. They hide them. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. There it is, man.
Yep.
The inside info on the animals at the zoo.
Yeah. So there you go.
Who knew?
By the way, and it's one of the things that people don't talk about, that zoo patrons, they are worried about illness, and it's particularly salmonella. That's apparently the most common thing you could get sick at the zoo from
the
salmonella.
Zoo?
Mm-hmm. So make sure you're always washing your hands when you're going there or anything you can touch. I don't know.
Just wear a mask.
Yeah. And also, something I thought was kind of interesting. Well, how's that going to get your semen on your
kidding.
Hands?
I was kidding.
All right. Do you know that compared to regular veterinarians, zoo vets actually make less than their peers? I never would have thought that.
Why?
I don't know.
People would pay more for their pets to keep their pets healthy. That seems to me like...
I don't know. I just thought that like that's an area of expertise that you're
more
niche.
Where's the money coming from? Like, the bigger dollars are going to come from pet owners, not from zoos.
Well, I guess
that makes sense to me.
Well, I guess I thought because that's a profit business.
Your pet is part of your family. If your dog is sick, you're going to pay more money to keep your dog going.
Well, we are, for sure.
If his paw falls off, you sew it back on. Let's go.
Spare no expense.
Right.
Well, kind of. Mm-hmm.
Put his ear back on and let's go.
That's true. Now on to some strange things that happens at zoos. These are some bizarre things. Japanese zoos put on pretend animal attacks. Did you know this? I mean, only the Japanese would do this.
That is awesome.
No. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. It says, as you might guess, at a place whose sole purpose is to keep a bunch of really interesting and often deadly animals in separate cages and show them to children, safety is kind of a big deal. But there are some obvious difficulties to running a realistic safe drill for animal escapes. Difficulties such as tigers being too expensive and endangered to let one run away around every few months while the staff shoots at it. Enter Japan. Mm-hmm. They're very innovative. The Japanese have devised a plan for ensuring the safety of zoo-goers without having to beat a Komodo dragon off a tourist.
Oh, Lord, that's not going to go well for that tourist.
Mm-hmm. They have videos of Japanese zoo staff running zoo staff.
Could you imagine?
I can't read if you're going to do this.
A Komodo dragon getting beat off.
I would have to beat a Komodo dragon off you. Mm-hmm.
I just got another picture in my mind.
I know,
it wasn't like, that.
Get it out. Stop it. The Japanese zoo staff running serious escape drills where a zookeeper puts on one of those Disney plush suits and enacts the vicious escape of a giant plush polar bear. So in this video, there's a video. I encourage you to Google it. As the mammal gropes around adorably and children presumably have to be discouraged from running up to him for hugs and pictures, staff roll up in trucks and get down to business by controlling this adorable threat. I'm not...
They should just let, like, a real polar bear out. If you want to get serious.
And here, you can almost see him going through the 5 stages of grief as we can only hope the pretend tranquilizer dart trikes takes place.
Oh, it's not a real one? They don't actually, like...
I don't think so.
Shoot him in the ass with, like,
a
tranquilizer.
Then, when the pretend danger is over, the armed staff complete the horror by throwing a tarp over the plush mammal's lifeless body, strapping it down, and hauling it in a truck, speeding off to parts unknown. I'm not kidding.
All right, I got a better story.
Wait, okay. No, I'm not done this. Go ahead. You do it.
Okay. Now, this is a real story.
Okay.
Bengal tigers maul a zoo cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so this happened in, let me see, this happened in, oh, Singapore Zoo. This poor keeper, his name is Bin Moon Tong. He was, you know, going about his day, cleaning the cage. Little did he know, this would be his last day cleaning the pen, because a group of tigers attacked him, drug him into a body of water, and, you know, that's where he died. His wounds were just far too severe.
That's so terrible.
There you go.
I wonder how many zookeepers die.
Probably quite a bit. I don't know.
Quite a bit? Not quite.
No,
a bit.
I don't think so.
I think it's a rarity. I wonder if you have to sign picture or papers when you work there.
Oh, here's another story. I'm sure. Here's another story. Binky the polar bear bites back. If you want to get up close and personal with Binky, then be prepared to face the consequences. After attacking Catherine Warburton, she's an Australian tourist visiting a zoo. It was in Alaska. Binky achieved unprecedented fame. Warburton had jumped a few railings to take a photograph of the polar bear, but Binky didn't seem to like the flash, you see. Binky stuck his face through the railings and chomped down on Warburton, breaking her leg. The polar bear kept the woman's shoe as a souvenir for 3 days until zookeepers were able to safely retrieve it. Warburton donated the shoe to a local bar, and Binky reached peak stardom.
Like a serial killer, that one
he
was.
He is. I mean, he's hardcore.
Oh, my. I love it. Do you remember the time we almost lost Teddy at the zoo?
Yeah.
That was great.
So, there's a story about this gorilla that's pretty famous. He was shot. I don't know if I want to read that because it's kind of tragic.
Cry?
Well, it's really sad. I think it was at the Cincinnati Zoo, Cincinnati Zoo. Gorilla's name, what's his name?
I don't know. What zoo is it?
Harambe.
Oh, yes.
At the Cincinnati Zoo.
Everyone knows that.
It's really sad. The story's awful.
Why did you have to bring that one up?
Yeah, he's a 4-year-old male gorilla. Little boy fell into his cage enclosure. He's a 450-pound silverback gorilla. Zoo officials had to shoot him as a result to make sure that the kid was safe. So that's not really a great story.
Thanks,
Jesus. Yeah, I don't really feel very good about that. Now, here's a great one.
Okay.
Listen to this title. African wild dogs catch fallen toddler.
Yeah, I saw this one.
While spending a day at the Pittsburgh Zoo, 2-year-old Maddox Durkosh got too close to the railing's edge of an African wild dog exhibit.
Toddlers are such assholes. They really are.
The toddler fell over the netted area of the enclosure and was immediately attacked by a group of canines. Durkosh's parents looked on in terror as their son was mauled by the animal. Oh, Jesus.
Wait a minute. I thought this was going to end well.
The African painted dogs were...
this is not!
were scattered away when zookeepers intervened, but one dog refused to leave Durkosh's body, forcing security to open fire on the animal. Durkosh's family came to a settlement with the zoo a few years later, despite the defense team arguing that it was the parents' neglect that caused the child to fall. So, I don't think he was killed. He just was bitten by the dogs.
Listen to me. I know both sides of the story. Because, I mean, I feel for those parents because...
Sure.
You can be the best parent in the world.
Right.
And I'm not claiming to be, but I'm saying we're pretty... I think we're doing it okay.
And I think I'm doing great. I don't know about you.
We've lost our kids a couple times. Like, one time I lost, we, at the aquarium, and Teddy was riding the escalator. It's always Teddy. He was riding the escalator up, licking the railing. You're welcome, everyone. All the way up the aquarium, and he just, like, slipped away from me. And that could have ended terribly. The other time, remember he ran ahead, and we didn't know where he was. We thought he was in the reptile house, and he was, like, staring at the alligator. Yeah. And, by the way, he could have just jumped right over that railing and got into the alligator enclosure. So,
sure.
I think that... I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for, I think parents are not perfect and toddlers are assholes.
I mean, it happens. It happens when your kids are small, it's easy to lose them because they just take off.
Yeah, so never be one of those people to say,
oh my God.
It would never happen to us. I would never.
It could easily happen.
Yeah, because that's exactly when that never end starts coming right down, right towards you.
Never say never.
Never say never.
Okay, in New Jersey, this is a positive story.
Okay.
But by the way, that boy was not killed by the dogs. He was merely bitten.
And he learned his lesson. No, I mean, he was two. He's a baby.
Okay. Jersey Zoo. This is a recent story. Just last week. Jersey Zoo welcomes birth of endangered black lion tamarin, which is like a primate kind of little monkey thing. It's small. Says here there are less than 2,000 black lion tamarins worldwide. This one is a baby. Her name is Grace. She was born at the Jersey Zoo, which I gather is in New Jersey.
That's it?
What do you mean, is that it?
No, okay. Well, I mean, yeah, it's just, did they have to shoot this one?
No, it's a baby.
Soon they will.
Jersey Zoo, I don't know if it's in Trenton, New Jersey. I'm not sure. I should have actually looked that up. But somewhere in New Jersey is the Jersey Zoo.
Did you want to sort through all your papers to find that answer?
They have a new primate. Yeah.
Okay.
Black lion tamarin is an endangered species.
Okay.
Found in Brazil.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
Rockin' and rolling.
Okay, so now it's time for our final story. Are you ready? So
I'm ready.
I want you to travel with me. We're going to the zoo in Berlin.
Oh, goodness. Here we go.
We're going to go. Picture it. It's like what was from the Golden Girls. Picture it. It's May 1945. It's World War II.
I know what this is already. This is Hitler.
Okay, but we're not going to talk about Hitler. I mean, we are, but we're talking about the zoo.
This is the Nazis, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I knew it.
Okay. The war in Europe has come to an end, but the bombardments by the Allies and the house-to-house combat between German and Russian Red Army had turned the city into a pile of rubble. Are you with me?
Does it involve a T-Rex?
No.
Okay.
Many stray bombs came down from the premise, and during the Battle of Berlin, the zoo there turned into a literal battlefield, as tanks and shells left their destructive traces. The premise of the zoo, once so well attended, had deteriorated into some gruesome landscape. There was dead soldiers, carcasses of animals that were lying scattered everywhere. Less than 100 of the approximate 3,500 animals survived. We're going to talk a little bit about them. All right. But I am talking about, there's a wonderful book called War Zone Zoo that tells this tale about the Berlin Zoo. It's amazing. You have to read it.
Yeah.
It tells about all the employees and the animals, and it really goes into details about their story. It's a story about how the zoo lost its innocence, but it really is, it's very sort of warm-hearted too, because these people had love for animals and how just survival and rebirth sort of happens.
Well, even the Germans love animals.
Okay. That's not, okay. All right. So on September 8th, 1941, the zoo was struck by their first bombs. Six 250-pounders inflicted very heavy damage on the forest restaurant and its surroundings, while the cattle stables were set on fire by incendiaries. Damage was minimal, however, and was repaired within a few weeks. For 2 years afterwards, the zoo was not hit again, with the exception of a five 250-pounders, which came down on the pastures of the cattle and the wolves.
Oh, no.
It was on November 22nd and 23rd, the zoo was subjected to its heaviest air bombs. Okay.
Wolves?
Yes. All right. So they unleashed a massive attack on the western part of Berlin, and over a period of a week, more attacks would follow, claiming 3,758 dead and 10,000 injured and 500,000 homeless. When it was over, hardly a single house stood standing around the streets around the zoo. The zoo did not fare any better than its other surroundings. On November 22nd, sometime between 1915 and 1930, the zoo was hit by various types of bombs, including more than 1,000 bombs. Raging fires could hardly be extinguished because of the water mains that had been damaged and bombs that were placed on the ground.
This is really sad.
No, it's okay.
I don't like this story.
It's going to be okay.
How is it okay?
Because some people, terrible. Some of them survived. Numerous animal shelters were struck by bombs and burned to the ground, including the shelters of the elephants, monkeys, and the predators. Other buildings were damaged, such as the quarantine building and some utility buildings. In about 15 minutes, 30% of the zoo's population was killed. The next day, the aquarium building was completely destroyed by a direct hit. So it's just like, hold on. All right. It gets bad, but then it gets better. You know, there are some glimmers of hope.
I hope some of the
in the morning,
wolves survived.
Passerbyers were confronted by the lifeless bodies of four crocodiles who had apparently flung out of the street onto the street from the explosion.
Oh, that's awful.
I want you to just picture your whole town is being bombed, and then the zoo's aquarium blows up, and a dead alligator is right in front
it's
of you.
It's not a crocodile. It's a crocodile.
It's a crocodile.
That's a shame. I feel bad for them.
Uh-huh. So then all of these rumors erupted to the city about dangerous animals escaping from the
zoo. Right, like a T-Rex.
Right. In the dark shelters, it was just the thought of roaming poisonous snakes or hungry crocodiles. People were frightened to death.
They'll be afraid of the chimps.
Yeah, that's true.
Travis will get his vegetables and his, you know, popsicle and, like, rip off your nose or something.
He was looking for his frozen vegetables.
Right.
Well, there were stories about elephants stampeding through the streets and tigers prowling around the ruins of, but that was all imagination.
That's sad.
Yeah, actually, the only dangerous animal that really ever escaped too much was the dingo named Maria.
Did she eat the baby?
Maybe the dingo ate your baby. Maybe.
Maria. Uh-huh. She sounds friendly. Like, it's just Maria. She's fine.
And then a few monkeys like a escaped and some smaller animals and some birds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Birds.
Huh? Yeah, birds.
Well, I mean, they smell bad.
The penguins. I don't know if they had penguins. Yeah.
What's that stink? Oh, that's
it's
the penguins.
It's just the penguins poop. It's not anything else. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a great story, Nicole.
No, I'm not done. So there's one story of some passerby walking by and seeing a shepherd's dog. Like this dog looking like bewildered and just like, you know, out of it kind of. And this
PTSD.
Yep. So this woman was going to take pity on him, the dazed animal, and tried to give him a slice of bread. And just as she was pointing to it, two zookeepers came around and took the wolf. It's a wolf. Back to its shelter. And the only thing I could think of is this is how I would die.
Oh my God.
Like, Jason, this poor dog needs a piece of bread and it's a fucking wolf.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
She was going to feed it a piece of bread?
Yes.
And yeah. Then they captured it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm.
It was probably so hungry, though. It would have taken the bread. Like, I'm taking her hand, too. But
right.
Hey, please and thank you. Boom.
Mm-hmm. So, out of the survivors, there was a giraffe and an orange orangutan. I think that's... And a gorilla named Pongo.
Oh, Lord.
Who had been there since 1936, and it had appeared on the visitor's guide, survives.
Well, thank God Pongo made it.
Mm-hmm. Of the elephants, there was one survivor, a bull, who lost his whole harem. Yeah.
That's okay. He'll find new ones.
That's okay. But a lot of these animals were evacuated in
like
to somewhere
other
else.
Zoos.
They tried to do that. Mm-hmm.
That's really... Oh, God. God bless those animals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Are any of them still alive?
No. Mm-hmm.
They're all gone.
No.
I hope that the wolf's still out there somewhere roaming.
A lot of, like, the hoofed cattle were moved to, you know, they probably fared
fields.
Better.
Yeah.
Took a number of animals back to the Mole House Zoo. They were
Mole
taken,
House?
Yes.
Moles?
No.
Just let them out.
No, that's called the name of the zoo. Some of the animals were moved
to that part. Oh, okay. Just let them out.
Oh, my God.
Let them be free in the wild.
Oh, my God. On February 7th and 10th, transports from Berlin arrived carrying 237 mammals and 149 species of bird.
We got to go to the Berlin Zoo now.
I don't know what's going on there. I guess they're...
It's probably cool.
Okay. All right. You can almost hear the faint sound of a howling bloodhound.
I heard it downstairs.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. But most of these, a lot of these workers or these zookeepers stayed back to take care of the animals. And, yeah. So then, I mean, it was like some of the stories are so...
That's a sad story, great. Nicole. Thank you.
I'm not
sharing.
Done. Yeah. Forest workers and soldiers, they would go around and kind of help clear up the zoo, and a team of veterinarians, this is not great, where it had to be brought in to dissect the giant corpse of, like, the elephants. So they could take into, like, facilities to process them.
Right.
But they also...
Process them?
Yeah. Well, get, like, it's a lot of meat.
What do you just... I don't know.
Well, and in order to take off the hunger, like, there was hunger going on. Yeah.
Yeah, true,
they had a really particular menu.
That's all right.
But they said we had meat coming out of our ears. Many of the edible animals had fallen victim to the air raid, particularly tasty were the crocodile tails.
Yeah.
Cooked tender. Mm-hmm.
They
said they tasted like fat chicken.
Really? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind
trying. Deer, buffalo, antelope were cut up, and like a lot of the town folk and soldiers ate, and some of the animals themselves. Beer ham and beer sausage became like a delicacy.
I'm not sure what that is. Beer
sausage?
Ham?
Bear. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Bear. I'm sorry, bear.
Bear, like rawr.
Yes, I was thinking beer because it's Berlin.
Mm-hmm. Yogi Bear.
Yeah, okay. So the explosion, the bombs continued. The zoo, this once like beautiful glory of Berlin, turned to rubble. But the zoo remained open to the public until the last moment. It closed April 22nd, 1945. That's when it officially closed to the public. They were so concerned about having enough food and water and caring for these animals and the making sure they were, you know, animals that were used to a warmer climate, survived the cold winters, that they put up these, like, various shelters. In fact, one of them was for the midget hippos. They were housed in the lab.
You can't say that word anymore. How many times have you told me not to use that word? And
you
there you go.
When you're talking about hippos, you
you're
can.
You're disparaging these poor hippos, calling them midgets.
They were put in the lavatory building where they could, like, control the temperature. So.
Do you mean pygmy hippo? Is that what it is?
Well, they called him midget. In the book, midget hippos.
Because they're German.
Okay, fine.
They don't care. It's great.
Either
By
way,
way
they were in the
I
bathroom, they were okay.
I say that sarcastically.
Are you gonna? I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah.
I'm mostly German. I knew you were gonna say that.
Right.
Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah, they come
oh
on.
Oh my gosh.
You know, I love the Germans.
Okay,
well,
let me talk about.
I love Germany. I love the German people.
I don't. I mean, I don't want to go visit. We have to.
I do.
Perpetual.
We're
going
to
visit Ireland. Not Germany.
I'm not going.
I'm going to Ireland. I don't know who you're going with. Fine.
Take somebody else out there.
Okay. If anybody would like to travel to Ireland with me, I'm a hoot. Apparently, I will drive you around if you get too drunk. So, anytime.
That happened this weekend with me. I had to get a ride home from my wife because I had, I don't know, a couple of beers. Was even bad.
It's fine. All right. One of my favorite stories is in the middle of this war, right? This baby hippo is born.
Oh, well, it's a midget hippo.
Yes. Okay. And it was like this beloved little hippo. And eight months old hippo barely survives, right? Barely survives all the air raids and everything else. And then this little hippo is one time its building is like, you know, bombed or whatever and catches fire.
Yes.
So, and at the time they had these young soldiers. I mean, soldiers, these boys were 15, 16, and they had these various jobs, do whatever you need, fill ammunition,
sure,
whatever. But they were putting everybody to work, right?
Go for it.
And while they were like finishing their training to be, you know, regular soldiers, they were helping out wherever they could, right?
Gophers. I mean, this is the zoo, right?
Right. So they were volunteering to guard and clear the zoo. And so this boy named Peter, he remembers one night that he sees the enclosure, the little hippo's enclosure, hit and knocked on fire. So they were going through the dark and trying to find out what was going on. They stumble upon the hippo's enclosure and it's burning, right? And no, it's fine. And the exit is blocked by debris and pieces of wood. So Peter and the other boys that was with them see that the little hippo's head is like stuck in the side exit, and he just put on just enough pounds that he couldn't get through.
He's fat.
No, he's a fat hippo. He's a hippo. That's what they're supposed to do. It was a little bit too small for him. But he got his head stuck, and he was, like, wheezing and snorting.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. And the by the way, and then there's ambers falling on him.
And plus, he's huge.
And burning the back of him.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, my God, this he was hopeless. Right. So Peter and the soldiers, they were able to, because of the fire, the masonry was just heat, you know, warm enough or whatever, they could knock some of it loose, and the little hippo jumps into the water basin. They said that cloud of steam like came off of it.
Oh, goodness.
And they were almost, for a minute, he thought, maybe I shouldn't have saved this hippo because how is he going to survive these burns? But the hippo does. The hippo survives. And he had some like burn spot on various parts of his body, particularly his back, right? But later he becomes this like symbol of so now they have this tiny little hippo that is
redemption,
yeah, and they have a bronze statue
like a new Germany,
right, erupted. And then do you want to hear about the hippo, his final days? So he became the darling of the public, and he goes on to produce 35 offspring.
Something bad happens.
What, the end? No, he's a long life.
What happens at the end?
During a fight with one of his sons in 1988, his lower jaw becomes so badly damaged he can no longer eat. They have to put him down.
Well, he is a hippo.
But there is a life-size bronze statue of this animal that is next to the hippo entrance in the building.
I mean, he is a hippo after all.
That's how he ended. Yeah, he went on to live a full life and then fight with his son and then...
Died as a result.
And scene.
In true
hippo fashion.
German fashion.
That's right.
That's how he goes out.
Anyway, but if you want to read more about this and you want to hear all the stories about it, check out that book. It's wonderful. And we'll put a link in our notes about it. But it's called War Zone Zoo. And it is wonderful.
So okay, now, should we discuss this weekend's good news or the bad news?
Good news or bad news?
Yeah.
Okay. Good news.
Good news is...
Yeah.
Our Little League baseball team...
Yes.
Formerly known as Team Blue...
Okay.
Now known as Team 11 because our, you know... We actually...
Because the uniforms weren't in.
Yeah, the uniforms weren't in.
Mothers out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I made sure Teddy had his baseball pants. I bought blue socks to match his uniform. I was promised that this Saturday during open day, he would put on his blue shirt for pictures and have his blue uniform. We changed everything out because last year it was Team Red. And so he was so excited to be Team Blue.
Team Blue.
I show up for the game and he is wearing an orange shirt.
You show up. I'm coaching the team.
I know. An orange shirt and a green hat. There's nothing blue.
That's what I was...
I saw your
thunder. What do you want me to say? The team... Yeah, I mean, you ruined the story.
I mean, the story is...
The uniforms didn't come in.
I know.
It's a first world problem. We aren't Team Blue. We did play well.
What is your name? You need to be a team animal.
We don't have a name yet.
It should
be
like
Tigers.
So
you guys have any suggestions for our team?
Hippo.
Yeah, the hippos.
The hippos. The midget hippos.
That works. The midget hippos is fantastic. Oh.
What else is there?
So, the good news, we played very well.
Okay, nobody cares about our sense of Little League.
They don't care, but I care about it because, you know.
What's the bad news?
The bad news is I broke my finger during the game.
And I think we need to put a picture of your hand on our Instagram because nobody knows when I talk to him.
There is a picture of my hand.
Is it your hand? But is it in scale? Because Jason has very long fingers. And it's a strange sort of Nosferatu-like hand. Like, he sometimes moves it in such a way that it's like Dracula from the corner. And it's so gross that it makes me kind of want to vomit.
What's gross? I just have a big hand.
You have very long fingers.
My wife made me put a Dracula emoji, you know, during the picture because she makes fun of my fingers.
Because you move them in such a way that it gives me the creeps.
Move them like that.
Oh,
it's like the count. Like Gary Oldman in the movie when he with his fingers and he's moving his hands like yes! just so.
But like no woman Gary finds that Oldman, attractive. Man.
That's not true. What's her name? Winona.
That's right.
Ryder.
Right.
Was all over Gary Oldman. She wanted to be with Dracula.
Right. Well, she's Keanu never seen Reeves, such hands.
Keanu Reeves is losing his mind over it.
Yeah. Van Helsing?
Yeah, Van Helsing is Anthony Hopkins has to come in, save his ass, and kill the
Do you want to talk about anything else? Talk about a good movie we watched? Deep Waters.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it was a good movie. Ben Affleck, Deep Waters. That's a good movie if you want to see.
Ben Affleck act, kind of.
Be himself.
He's not a... Yeah.
It's a good movie. That's a good movie. And we'll just have to see what happens with the moon. What goes on
I think, hey, regardless, I mean, just eat your carbs.
Eat your carbs.
No. That don't do that.
I'm eating carbs. I'm back on carbs, folks.
No, you gotta be healthy.
I can't care anymore. I just can't. All right. Well, that's it for tonight. We will be back next week. We're gonna do some listener submissions. So if you have some, send them to me this week. And we'll be back with another spooky story to share with you. That's it.
How's your hair situation?
I feel like my hair situation has ebbed. Like we've stopped the shedding.
Oh, you're on the other.
I'm on the other end. The other side. I might be. I feel better about it, and maybe it's just because I have just like let go of emotionally about what's happening.
Yeah, perhaps it is.
I've just taken this transition in stride.
Positive thinking.
Right.
It will grow back.
It's a lot of something. I did a little spell work. I looked at the moon. Did a little moon blessings. I feel good about where I'm at. Did a little moon water ceremony.
It'll grow back.
Yeah.
It's probably the carbs that are.
It's all the carbs. Yep. No, I think adding carbs to my diet might have helped. I don't know.
Who's to say?
Who's to say, really? All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Have a great week, folks. And we'll see you later.
All right, guys. See you.